98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
This is the part of the program we get you caught up on everything we've been talking about today on the Burns and Gambo show and our instant immediate reaction to those top stories of the day. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show, starting with the information that Gambo has backed up when it comes to this tweet from Bob Nightingale, national baseball writer. He and others from the winter meetings tweeting out several teams who have checked in with the Diamondbacks say that Robbie Ray is not available.
No, not available from what I am hearing, too. He is not available. Very unlikely, almost impossible that they'll trade him. David Peralta, look, possible they trade him, but they need outfielders, so it would be hard. And free agency-wise, they're going to try to address the center field position with a free agent. That's how they're going to do it. They're going to lose A.J. Pollock, and very likely that they'll get a center fielder via the free agency route is what I'm hearing.
I wonder if they would dangle Nick Ahmed. I don't know if they'd get a ton for him, but I do wonder if a shortstop coming off a Gold Glove season and his best, in some ways, his best offensive year that he's had in the majors, and he's got 2 years of control left. I do wonder if Ahmed is a guy they could potentially dangle to try to fill some needs.
You know, there are two, like,
because then you could move to Marte over to short if you wanted to, right? If you're going to go get a center fielder, you could move Marte to short and keep Escobar at second, or you could do lots of different things if you wanted to.
Yeah, I look at the Yankees, right, with D.D. Gregorius out, and you're like, okay, like, they need a shortstop until D.D. comes back. Ahmed is a really, really good player. Like, he's a good player. But if you are committed to trying to compete, he doesn't cost a lot of money.
Right.
He's a great teammate. He's really good with people. He's one of the best people, one of the best guys out there with the fans. And he's so good defensively that he's going to, you know, if you're going to go with a lot of younger pitchers, he makes a lot of sense to keep.
Yeah. Phoenix Suns, we talked in the last segment about Trevor Ariza for our brand new audience. Let's let everybody know the reports, the rumors yesterday that the Lakers had reached out to the Phoenix Suns about Trevor Ariza, who cannot be traded until this Saturday. They are true, but you're saying there's lots of teams that have called the Suns
there's
about Trevor Ariza.
There's at least eight teams that have called about Ariza. And I do not believe that the Lakers are on the verge of trading for him or there is anything imminent. And you'll know tonight if Ariza plays. If Ariza plays tonight, then there is nothing close with Trevor Ariza on a deal. Because if you've got a deal in place, you're just waiting for the 15th. He doesn't play. He's not playing if you've got a deal in place. So that's why if he plays tonight, you're rest assured there's nothing close.
Suns hosting the Clippers tonight. T.J. Warren is back.
T.J.'s going to play. He's active. He's going to play limited minutes tonight.
Igor Kokoschkov saying limited minutes for T.J. Warren tonight. Gambo, you like to talk about coaches falling on the swords for mistakes that are made.
I do.
Bill Belichick pointed the finger at himself for his team's uncharacteristic breakdown on the Dolphins' game-ending 69-yard touchdown yesterday. Quote, "It starts with me. We have to play better situational football. We'll work to try to achieve that." Close quote.
It was a bit. You don't usually see a team like that make mistakes like that. It was, you know, they got caught up in it. They had the wrong scheme for that play, and they got burned by it.
Yeah.
And listen, there was a time there where you thought, okay, the Patriots are going to win and Kansas City's going to lose. That's what you thought. I mean, you thought that the Patriots would regain home field advantage because the Patriots looked like they were going to win, and Kansas City had to convert like fourth downs, two of them on a big drive, to win that game, and a total reverse. Kansas City won, New England lost. Kansas City's in the driver's seat right now.
Monday Night Football tonight, a good one. The last two teams in the NFC playoffs as of now. Minnesota is at Seattle. In a really
I'm only
matchup.
Worried about my fantasy football team. I got Chris Carson tonight. I've got the lead. Lipinski's got Sebastian Janikowski. I'm ahead. I'm just that's all my concern is.
You know what? I think the Valley.
I mean, I hate Seattle, but I'm going to root for Chris Carson
tonight.
I think
the entire Valley shares your concerns, and they're really only worried about you and your fantasy team.
I don't usually play fantasy. I'm not playing it next year. I'm telling you right now. Rod, I'm not playing next year.
Our top story of the day, though, comes.
I'm going to win it now. I'm going to walk out on top.
The Arizona Cardinals, losers yesterday to the Detroit Lions by a score of 17-3. And I misspoke. Earlier we talked about this. I was looking at some numbers and I got a little confused. I was looking at net passing yards. It was not Josh Rosen's best day as a member of the Arizona Cardinals in terms of passing yards. It was his second best day as a member of the Cardinals.
I saw your
correction.
Yeah, your correction.
I was looking at his passing yards and net passing yards. However, it was one of his best days, and it was one of their best days in terms of passing the ball. You and I were both there. A lot of people listening to this show were there yesterday. Did it look like one of Josh Rosen's best days member of the Arizona?
Hell no.
No.
That's why numbers don't mean anything. Like, he was laid on everything. He had a terrible game. I mean, I could even make the argument he regressed. Took a step backwards with that game. Now, clearly, like, the offense is just so terrible. I mean, the game plan, everything was just... I mean, it's just no imagination with this offense at all. I mean, they were trapping Larry Fitzgerald, which means they had a guy underneath, a guy over the top. I mean, you know, they basically said to themselves, like, look, you know, no Christian Kirk. We're just going to concentrate on taking Larry Fitzgerald out. And if J.J. Nelson and Trent Sherfield beat us, so what? So that's why J.J. had some catches and Sherfield had some catches, because they were just going to stop Larry. They weren't going to let Larry have, you know, a great game. So they did a really good job of making sure that they covered Larry. And the Cardinals never moved Larry around. They never freed him up. They just didn't move him. You got to move him, free him up. I mean, they didn't do that. So offense was terrible yesterday. You're playing three rookies on the offensive line. It is what it is. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to go out there and light it up, and I'm not expecting them to have any games like that this year. I mean, we're going to go through this season without a great Josh Rosen game.
But I was not expecting regression. I was not expecting us to have the conversation about whether Josh Rosen has gone backwards, right?
Yeah.
That I wasn't expecting. I can sit here and say, you know, getting a lot better, improving. Okay, it's a fair point that you bring up that would have been asking too much for a quarterback in his rookie season. But to be going backwards, to be fighting the perception that he's going backwards, that can't happen. That part can't happen. You would agree with that or no?
I would hope that, yeah, that you don't take steps back. But, and you would hope that there's, and I had said this before, I don't think there's so much progress he could make this year with the offensive line and lack of skill players and the coaching situation.
You have.
But I do understand what you're saying. You don't want to go backwards.
You can't go backwards.
Just at least maintain a level of averageness.
Yes.
I'm average. that level.
Could you not make an argument that Josh Rosen's best game as an Arizona Cardinal was his first? The very first game that he started, remember?
The start of when he came off the bench.
Not when he came off the bench, the start. And everybody said, oh my gosh, this is one of the best rookie debuts we've ever seen. If not for all the drops, if not for all of the catches that the wide receivers didn't make, I believe it was against the Seattle Seahawks, that would have been one of the best debuts a rookie quarterback has ever made.
15 out of 27, 180 yards, a touchdown, only sacked one. It was six dropped passes in the game. He went 6-for-7 against the blitz. 6-for-7. Pro Football Focus said it was the best starting debut for a rookie since they started doing grades in 2006. He held the ball for 0.4 seconds longer than Sam Bradford did. He had a completion percentage of 55.6, but the adjusted completion percentage for drops and throwaways was 72%. You're exactly right. That was his best game. Yeah.
Yes.
You're so smart. You are.
Thank you.
I have to go back to my notes. I didn't realize that. You have it right there up top. Yeah, I got to go back to what I wrote down, you know,
well,
12,
I didn't remember all those
weeks ago.
Fancy numbers about all
right,
that.
Because I write it down. But, I remember them either.
I remember the reaction after the Seattle game was, my God, that was a fantastic debut for a rookie quarterback. Okay, contrast that to what he did yesterday, okay? And I'll give you, the Lions defense is good, but you can make the argument that Josh Rosen has gone backwards. You can't have that. Can't have that.
Certainly, you can have it. You certainly don't want it.
You don't want it. You don't want it.
It's not good.
Now, I still hope that he's the quarterback of the future. I still believe that rookie quarterbacks, you pretty much have to take their first year and just toss it out the window. You just rack it up to experience and practice reps and learning and figuring it out. But am I a little nervous about how this is going to look next year, given how Rosen has maybe even gone backwards this year?
Yeah, certainly.
I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little nervous about how next year was going to go, given that it looks like Rosen hasn't maintained that level, that he's going the wrong way here with three games to go in the season. That makes me nervous.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to get a great game for him with these games left. Seattle's defense, Rams defense. I just, you know, maybe Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's terrible. Maybe that's the last hope for, you know, one of those good games. But you also got to remember, look at this offensive line. Look at their skill position players.
Look at the wide receivers he's throwing to, right?
J.J. Nelson and Trent Sherfield.
I know.
How much do we really expect out of Josh Rosen?
It's fair.
How much do we expect?
It's a fair point.
But I think you made the best point of the day. His best game was his first game.
Yep.
His first game was his best game. Lost 20-17 to Seattle. And that was it.
And yesterday,
J.J. had a huge drop on a possible touchdown. I'll never forget it. It was, he got behind the defense and he dropped the ball. It was there. It was in his hands. You dropped it. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. And yesterday was arguably his worst. And that makes me nervous. Yesterday was arguably one of his worst performances. That makes me nervous.
Yeah.
It does.
It should.
After winning on the road last week, the Cardinals regressed yesterday. Apparently, that's the word of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. They regressed yesterday against the Lions. Is this team still invested in their head coach? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. This time a week ago, we were more than happy to talk about a big win in Green Bay. A win that basically accelerated the end of the career of Mike McCarthy there.
Yes.
A win that, you know, kind of took the first pick overall in the draft off the table, at least temporarily, kind of eased the heat on the seat of one Steve Wilkes, right?
I mean, well, it was a reprieve, we called it.
It was a reprieve.
It was a 1 week reprieve, but we're back to square one now. Here we go.
Yep, we're right back to where we were. Basically, after the Chargers game, after the Raiders game, after the Broncos game, where all those things are back on the table now, we're talking about the number one pick, and we're talking about Steve Wilkes. And whether, and I think what it goes to show, and you made this point earlier, after losing to the Lions the way they did yesterday, 17-3, it's almost inaccurate to have a conversation about Steve Wilkes' future until you get to the very end, right? Because,
yes, they will not make any decision before that, I don't believe.
They beat Green Bay. We all feel okay about it. They lose to Detroit. Now we feel like maybe they need to fire him at the end of the year. And we're going to play that kind of ping pong game all year long until we get to the end and it's actually time to make a decision. Right now, today, it feels like Steve Wilkes could be out of a job 3 weeks from now when the season ends. After what happened yesterday.
Would you be surprised if they kept him?
I'm going to be honest with you. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
At this point, I would be surprised if they kept him.
So you'd be surprised if they kept him?
I would be.
Okay.
Would you?
I just don't really know. No, I guess I wouldn't be surprised because I do believe that there is the option of, listen, we're going to keep you, but we're going to get rid of your we're getting rid of your
staff. See, can I tell you something? I hate that option.
I know you do, but that's an option.
I understand that. That option to me is illogical.
Right.
It does not make any sense to me. So you're going to... All of these guys around him, it's them and not him. Even though he had a hand in hiring all those guys around him, and even though ultimately the buck kind of ends with him when it comes to the coaching of this, I don't see any point at all in making staff-wide changes but not making a change with the head coach. I don't see any logic to that. You must really like him if you're Michael and Steve Keim to do that, and you must really want to keep this job if you're Steve Wilkes to allow all the people that you personally vouch for that you wanted to be on your staff to get fired after 1 year. I don't get any of that.
If it was Wilkes's way, he'd probably just fire all the players because it's always their fault.
Well,
it's always the players' fault. It's not the coaches.
Let's get into that.
Okay.
Because Jordan put together a montage of, by his count, at least three times during his press conference today, and at least a couple more during his appearance with the Bickley and Murata show. You going to play it for me, Jordan? Play this little montage of Steve Wilkes today.
We got to do a better job as coaches, too, putting guys in position to be successful, trying to create some different things up front, you know, spreading guys out a little bit to try to give us a little bit more room to run the ball inside. Trying to create different matchups with getting certain guys on the field. Again, it falls back on us as coaches trying to put those guys in position to be successful. So a lot of things goes into it. You know, as coaches, we will address that, being able to see that, and then now to try to combat that for us trying to spread things out to give ourselves a chance.
All right. Now, I've got
a complete reversal from yesterday, huh?
I have here in front of me a quote sheet from Steve Wilks. I'll look through it again, but immediately after the game, nowhere on this quote sheet does he say,
coaching,
we got to do a better job of coaching.
No.
We got to do a better job of coaching.
But he did blame the players.
Here's what he said after the game yesterday.
Well, everybody has injuries. Those guys had injuries on their side of the ball as well. So, you just got to be able to continue to try to do what you do and get those guys going, which I thought, again, we had a great game plan. Lack of execution was the key today.
We had a great game plan. A lack of execution was the key
lack
today.
Lack of execution was the key
24
today.
Hours ago, quote, we had a great game plan. A lack of execution was the key today, close quote. Today, on two different media appearances, we got to do a better job coaching. We got to do a better job coaching. We got to do a better job coaching. Somebody got to him.
Absolutely.
Somebody got to him and said, you better stop blaming the players all the time. It's
plan
gonna
was
bite
great.
You.
It's bad. Plan was great. I had a great plan in place. So did the coaches. These players, they suck. It's on them. It's not my fault. Plan was awesome. We should have won 75-0. The plan was amazing. If these players were any good, we would have clobbered that team. But no, it's the players. Plan was amazing. I mean, if they just would have executed the plan, we would have won by 8 touchdowns. I mean, it's insane. Like, it's week after week after week. But then you hear Sean McVay last night. Hey, why'd you guys lose? My fault, because I did a terrible job coach. I'm the worst coach in the history of the NFL. Players did nothing wrong. They were great. I just had the wrong game plan for all of them. It's totally my fault.
Can I play it for you right
here?
I'll
play it.
I've got to be better for our football team, but this loss is on me. I didn't do nearly a good enough job for us today, and I trust that we'll respond the right way.
Bill Belichick, after that play yesterday that lost the Patriots the game, what did he do today? Blamed himself.
Right.
Like, I do a better job.
That, now, you got that cut or no?
No, I don't have that audio. I read the quote earlier. Now, whether Sean McVay actually believes that or not, of course that's up for debate. Whether Belichick believes that or not, of course that's a conversation. But when you're a head coach, that's what you have to do.
You have to. You can't throw your players under the bus every week. You have to say, you got to take the pressure off of them. Nobody's going to blame Jared Goff now. McVay just took it all off his plate. The whole team. It's my fault. I had a terrible game plan in place. If I would have had the right game plan, we would have won. But this is all on me, guys. I mean, don't even look at the players. I put in the worst game plan in the history of the National Football League. I just don't know what I was thinking. It's my fault. I mean, he absolutely put all the blame on him. And then you hit Wilkes. Oh, the game plan was great. It was just the execution. But how many times have we heard that? Like, how many times are you going to beat a dead horse here? It's always the game. It's the game plan's good. The execution's terrible, right? I mean, have we not heard that 10 times this year?
Yeah.
10 times
we've had this conversation
game
a
plan
few
is
times
good.
About Wilkes talking about how good the game plan
execution's
was and how the
terrible.
Execution was
I mean, that's listen, if you're going to fire him, that's one of the reasons, because that gets under the skin of players. Trust me.
Yeah.
It gets under their skin.
You know what? I mean, just his answer to the question last night got under my skin a little bit. Again, I'm reading from the quote sheet here. The question was what kind of game he thought the Cardinals would have to play in order to win, considering all the team's injuries. And then he answered the way that he answered just now with this soundbite.
Well, everybody has injuries. Those guys had injuries on their side of the ball as well. So, you just got to be able to continue to try to do what you do and get those guys going, which I thought, again, we had a great game plan. Lack of execution was the key today.
So your game plan to beat the Lions was to, quote, continue to try to do what you do and get those guys going, close quote. That was your plan as to how to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the plan.
Just do what you do.
Do what you do.
Just go get them going.
Do what you do. We're
going
to get these guys going. We're going to do what you do. Now, if you don't want to share with everybody the plan, that's fine. That's your prerogative. That's cool. But it makes it sound like you didn't have much of a plan.
Defensively, I think they did. The plan defensively stopped the run. We wanted to take that wide receiver, Galladay. They wanted to take him out. How many catches? Patrick Peterson shut him down in that game. He did nothing
Galladay
in that football
had
game.
Two catches for 5 yards.
I mean, that's Patrick Peterson. Our game plan was to take Galladay out of the game, and we wanted to shut down their running game. And defensively, we did. They scored 7 points off of a turnover. Outside of that, they got 10 points. But, I mean, just say that. I mean, offensively, come up with something, you know? But they made no adjustments on offense. This offense is as vanilla as it can get. It's terrible. It's an awful offense. Which, again, I mean, we do know this. Like, And we said this when they fired McCoy. You can't change everything once you're in the season.
I know.
You can't change the game plan.
And yet
the playbook is still mostly what he was running.
And yet we have nothing other than this to judge Byron Leftwich off of. I mean, that was a very Mike McCoy-led-like performance.
Absolutely.
By the Cardinals offense yesterday.
Sure.
I have to use that to judge Byron Leftwich if I'm Michael Bidwell or I'm Steve Keim. That was not a good day for Byron Leftwich to keep the job as offensive coordinator yesterday. Not good at all.
No.
Because that looked just like a Mike McCoy-type offense yesterday. Even though, for everything you just said, he's still running McCoy's offense. It's still McCoy's plays. He's just calling them different. The offensive line personnel, the wide receiver personnel, all that stuff makes it hard for Byron Leftwich to prove that he should have that job. But that offensive performance yesterday isn't going to do him any favors when it comes to keeping that gig. None.
I think it's the lack of adjustments, the lack of figuring out that, okay, they're trapping Larry. You got to move him around. You got to try to free him up. They don't do that. Like, that's the things. I'm not expecting this offense to go score 40 points and have 400 yards.
Yeah.
But I am expecting you to make some adjustments to free up the best player on your team and get him some passes.
Is Steve Wilks the right coach for the Cardinals? Should he be coaching this team next year? Open him up the phone line, 602-260-9870. Yeah, emergency situations call for emergency measures. We're taking your phone call, 602-260-9870, here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Got full phone lines here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get a quick update on our Twitter poll of the day. It's put together every day by Sarah Cazell here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
What do we need to know today, Sarah?
All right. We need to know why Josh Rosen has struggled so much this season. Now, Twitter only allows us to list four options, but we've got quite a few in our Twitter mentions today. 41% say constant change on the O-line has not helped Josh Rosen's performance. We've got 26% saying he's a rookie. You know, what can he do? 20% say it's a lack of weapons on offense, and 13% say, you know what? He is not a franchise quarterback.
That 13% is obviously what makes us all a little bit nervous. I have received, not a lot, I don't want to make it sound like a lot, but a couple of tweets who have suggested if the Cardinals have the first pick in the draft next year, they need to take another quarterback. Now, I don't subscribe to that at all, but I have gotten a couple of those mentions on Twitter from people who think they need to go find another one if they have the
That's
first
interesting.
Pick.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not yet. I mean, I don't want to waste a draft pick on a quarterback when you think you have one.
Right.
I mean, that would be a waste.
So yeah.
I wouldn't go that way.
All right, let's go out to the phones as we take calls on a Monday when things are really good or really bad. And right now, they're really bad with the Cardinals at 3-10. Let's go to Don in Avondale joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Don, you're going to have 24 seconds to answer the trivia question. You got to answer. I'm just kidding. We're not doing Gambo Super Trivia. Yeah, sorry. You're not going to win $250.
Bakshawalta!
Bakshawalta! What's your thoughts on the Cardinals, Don?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. My thoughts are is Steve Wilks is not the guy for us. I mean, he's had an opportunity in this league. This isn't a grace period type of league, especially when it's your first year in the coaching business. I mean, you know, in the NFL. However, I do think that we should definitely go after Mike McCarthy see what he's done for Aaron Rodgers. I think he can do that for Josh Rosen, man, and I think that would be an awesome step if the Cardinals can put something like that in place. But I believe Steve Wilks is not the man, and sorry to say that.
I think they would definitely talk to Mike McCarthy. Truly believe if they decide to go to move on from Wilks. But here's the thing, I mean, McCarthy's going to be highly sought after if there's as many coaching changes as we believe there are. Although that Cleveland one is fascinating now. I mean, did they just hold on to Greg Williams? They just keep winning. He's already won as many games as Hugh Jackson, right?
Did, right.
I mean, that's going to be interesting to see. I do think that they would want to talk to McCarthy if they moved on. I really do.
Let's go to Jeremy in Mesa on line three. Jeremy, you're next up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Just getting off work. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. So here's the deal. I mean, I tried really hard throughout this season to not be with the whole off with his head mentality, understanding that, like, he's a new coach, new system. But and even at the Green Bay game, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm a little hasty. Maybe give this guy a shot, you know, because it looked like a fairly solid performance. But after this week, no, he's not the guy for the job. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole first-year coach thing, but look at B.A. I mean, he was granted he was an interim the year before, but look what he did as a first-year coach. And look what, you know, Herm is doing down at ASU. I mean, they were in every single game that they played. Now, granted, it's not the NFL, but those guys are behind them. You can't coach effort, but what you can coach is you can get guys behind you. You can get them to buy what you're selling. And it doesn't seem like these guys are buying into his system.
You got to win. You have to win. In order to buy what somebody's selling, they've got to believe. I mean, if you keep losing all these games, it's like, well, why am I buying this? So I'm trying. You try. I mean, that's the problem with the coaches. Coaches lose players because coaches say, follow me, do what I tell you to do, we're going to win. And then you do it, and then you don't win. It's like, okay, well, you don't know what you're talking about. That's how coaches lose players.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian in Gilbert next up here on the Burns and Gambo show on this Big Red Monday. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Good.
Hey, just moved down here from Denver about 3 months ago, and I feel like I'm listening to deja vu all over again. We had the issue with Vance Joseph last year. Everybody was calling for his head at the end of last year, and we stuck around. We kept him around. I think I'm in the minority here, but I think you got to give Steve Wilks another year. I think that's the only fair way to get a true evaluation of the guy. Now, granted, VJ is a player's coach, and people like him, and they buy into him even if they're not playing as well. You know, I don't really know if guys are playing for Wilks, but that's just my two cents as an unbiased opinion.
That it's a funny point of view, and not funny, ha-ha. It's an interesting point of view, given that in some ways there were a lot of parallels between Vance Joseph's first year and Steve Wilks' first year, and a lot of question about whether Vance Joseph would get a second year. They just had their, what, four-game win streak snapped yesterday by San Francisco? And so all that talk about how, oh, you see, the Broncos should have fired Vance Joseph after 1 year, that all vanished with that win streak that got the Broncos kind of back into the conversation. And that win streak ended yesterday, but during that streak, that was sort of the poster child for keeping Wilks. That was, hey, look, if Vance Joseph can get it turned around, if Vance Joseph can get the Broncos back on track, who's to say that Wilks can't in year two the way Joseph did with the Broncos?
You know what they did in Denver? They added six new coaches to Vance Joseph's staff this year. That's what they did. They fired Mike McCoy last year after 10 games. He wasn't the only guy they fired. They got rid of six coaches. So that could be
argument for firing a lot of guys on Wilks' staff, but yes, keeping Wilks.
Yes, know? That is an argument. The Denver Broncos added six new coaches. They looked at Vance Joseph and said, you know, we kind of like you and we believe in you, but man, your staff sucks. So they got rid of six coaches. And Vance Joseph kept his job.
Yeah.
And that's what they could do here. They could keep Wilks and just replace a lot of his coaches.
Let's take one more real quick. Ben in Phoenix coming up here on the Burns and Gambo show. Hi, Ben.
Hi, guys. I've only been listening to your guys' show for about 4 months for most of the season, but I've been a Cardinals fan for pretty much the entirety of my 27 years being alive. Wilks has got to go. The problem is our defense was one of the better ranked units the last 5 or 6 years between when we had Bowles and we had Betcher as our coordinators. And we had offensive-minded head coaches. So go find an offensive-minded head coach, poach Betcher off of the Giants staff, bring him back, or if Bowles doesn't make it out of the Jets this year, bring him back, run the defense the way that it was supposed to be run with the pieces we have. Because on offense, if Kirk doesn't go down, you still have a good number two wide receiver and you have one of the best backs in David Johnson. So I get wanting to give him a second year. If they're not going to play for him, he's got to go.
Yeah, and that's going to be the trick over these next three games, right? Are they going to play for him?
Have they quit on him?
I don't know.
I think they won last week. I mean, they didn't quit yesterday.
No, they just didn't play very well.
It's not very good.
Yeah, did they quit on him?
I mean, that's the thing you look for. You look for the signs that they quit on a guy. Did they even want to play for the guy?
No,
I don't think we're at that point yet. There are some players that don't like him, but they're not quitting because it's their job. They're professionals.
That whole have they quit on him thing, it's really a moving target, isn't it? Against the Chargers,
sure,
it looked like they did. Against the Packers, clearly they didn't. Yesterday, I don't think they did. They just didn't play very well. at all. And they're making the same dumb mistakes that they've been making all year long. So quit on them. I don't know. We'll see over these next three games what happens there. When we come back, though, on the Burns and Gambo show, some good news. There is some hope for the Cardinals. And all you need to do to find it is look at one NFL team and you'll see it. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo show. Under Greg Williams, the Cleveland Browns are 3-2. He needed just five games to match Hugh Jackson's win total over two-plus seasons.
He's a defensive coach. And Baker Mayfield in those five games, 11 touchdowns, four picks. A quarterback rating of 114.4, which would be the sixth best in the NFL. His rating of 114.4,
wow.
Sixth in the NFL right now. 3-2, three wins, two losses, 11 touchdowns, four picks for Baker Mayfield. Completion percentage, get this, 73.2 for Baker Mayfield. They're even saying in Cleveland that if they had started Mayfield earlier instead of going with Tyrod Taylor, that they might be a playoff team. That they might, you know, they literally might be a playoff team.
Yeah.
If they had decided, because they wanted to go with Tyrod Taylor, so it's possible that, you know, they might have made the playoffs, but... They didn't commit to Tyrod Taylor in that preseason, you know, because they wanted to, they didn't want to bring him along too quickly. They wanted to go bring him along
slowly.
Wanted
to take their time with it, yeah.
Right.
He went 18 for 22, 238 yards, a touchdown, a 51-yard touchdown pass to Jarvis Landry yesterday. No interceptions. The Browns, I mean, it's, I hate to be cliche, but, I mean, if it can happen to them, there's no reason it can't happen here next year.
I buy it.
None.
I mean,
there's no reason it can't happen here.
The NFL's just different than a lot of other sports like that because there's so much roster turnover every year for teams. And you do get the worst to first every year. I mean, every year teams go from worst to first. So if you do it the right way, now a lot of things have to happen. You have to have another good draft. You have to address a lot of your holes in free agency with the right players. And, you know, you got to have the right, you got to make sure you have the right coaching staff. I mean, if it's not Wilkes and it's somebody else, if it is Wilkes, I mean, I just mentioned before, Vance Joseph, they fired six of his coaches and replaced them. And you get the right coaches in place. Then it can happen. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a guarantee. There's a lot of teams that stay bad for a few years. I mean, but you can turn it around quickly in a National Football League. This team could be in contention next year quickly. But things have to go right. Like you have to make a lot of right moves in order for that to happen.
Sure.
Can't have a lot of missteps to go from a 3-13 football team to being a playoff contender. You got to make a lot of the correct decisions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It does raise an interesting question about what they would do in Cleveland now. Do you keep Greg Williams? Do you, I mean, he's certainly done just about everything you could possibly ask of him, right? To retain that job and lose the interim tag and be the permanent head coach. And yet, I would imagine Cleveland, if they decided to move on, would become one of the better destinations for head coaching candidates, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Because of Mayfield, because of the young talent. I mean,
Bruce Arians
still says that's the only job he would come out of retirement for. He did an interview last week with CBS Sports, and they said, even the Packers? He said, even the Packers.
Right.
I wouldn't come out of retirement for the Packers. I'd come out of retirement for that job. I'm not going to say they're going to have their pick of the litter as to who they could hire, but they're going to be some really good coaches who are now going to want to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns now that it looks like they have a legitimate GM in place and a quarterback they can build around for the next 10, 15 years.
Listen, every day is a job interview for this guy. I mean, every game. I mean, every game's a job interview. So you've got the Broncos, the Bengals, and the Ravens all next. If they went out, they're 6-2 with Williams as the interim head coach. I mean, how do you fire that guy?
It's hard to.
How do you fire a guy who goes 6-2 as the interim coach when you couldn't win any games?
It's almost impossible to.
I mean,
it's almost impossible to.
Yeah,
you
listen,
can still do it, but it's almost impossible.
You can make a better argument that he'll stick around as the head coach than he would, you know, to stay on in another capacity as like defensive coordinator or something like that. I mean, he was a DC all year, the defensive coordinator. I don't know. I mean, if you're you do want some continuity. You know, you want to have your exit meetings. You want to see how the players feel about them. You don't want the players to decide it, but you may want to see.
Yeah.
It does seem like players like to win, and they're winning with him. They're winning.
Or I'm going to play a Gambo card here. Mm-hmm. Can I for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Addition by subtraction. Maybe Hugh Jackson was just that bad.
Yes.
Maybe Hugh Jackson was just that bad.
And Todd Haley.
Yep. And the mix was too toxic, and Hugh Jackson just wasn't any good at his job as a head coach. And maybe, and I'm not saying this is my final opinion on this, but maybe what you're seeing in Cleveland is more a reflection of addition by subtraction and not a great, not how good Greg Williams is doing, but just how bad Hugh Jackson was at his job. Maybe. It's something worth considering.
I mean, it could be. It's just, you know, you've got to make that. It's a tough spot for Cleveland, too, because you got to make sure he's the right guy, because you have a young quarterback who's really good. And you might, now you may do this if you're the Browns. You may say, you know what? If I can get Mike McCarthy, I'll fire Greg Williams. But if I can't get him, I'm not. Because you may look at the list of candidates that are available and say, I'd rather have Greg Williams than this guy. And that. But there's one guy or two guys I'd rather than have Greg Williams. Like, that's probably what's going to happen in Cleveland. You're not going to say, I'm firing Greg Williams if he goes 6-2 for you. You're going to say, the only way I'm going to fire Greg Williams is if I know I could get this guy to be my guy. And it might be McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, it could be. And then, but if you can't get him, you're going to say, I'll stick with Greg Williams.
Credit, by the way, to Freddie Kitchens.
Great job.
The offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, former running backs coach.
Former Cardinals
here, right?
Coach, yeah.
Kind of a BA guy who, you talk about a guy whose stock has dramatically risen.
Totally.
Freddie Kitchens' stock has gone through the roof. Rookie quarterbacks are not supposed to be this good this soon. Baker Mayfield is breaking all the mold. It typically doesn't work like this.
He started for 4 years in college. He won the Heisman. He played in so many big games. He's got crazy arm strength for a kid that's only 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy arm strength, good accuracy. But there's no doubt that Kitchens has proven, he is a really good offensive coordinator. And given the opportunity, got rid of Todd Haley, blew out Hugh Jackson, blew out Todd Haley. He's come in and been great for them. And maybe they like the dynamics. And maybe these two guys can work together and Williams lets him do his thing. And, the Browns' defense hasn't been great since they made the change. It's had its, bumps in the road. But clearly the offense and the improvement with Baker Mayfield may want you to believe that, okay, I want to keep Kitchens. I want to keep him because for some reason he's got a great rapport with Mayfield. That may be a plus to keep Williams as the head coach.
While we're on the topic of the NFL, what a mess in the nation's capital with the Washington Redskins.
This is a joke.
Floored by the New York Giants yesterday, right?
It's literally a joke. They literally went to a guy who hasn't thrown a pass since 2011 to play in the football game for them. And they named him the starter next week. He was playing in a pickup basketball game a couple weeks ago. Oh, by the way, he was the number one pick for this new football league. What's it called, that football league?
The Alliance of American Football.
Something or other.
The AAF. The Alliance of American Football.
That is crazy. They started Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez sucks.
6 of 14 for 38 yards and 2 interceptions.
Now, there was a lot of talk about, why didn't they go get Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Why did they not go get Colin Kaepernick? They thought Mark Sanchez was better than Colin Kaepernick. Mark Sanchez isn't better than anybody. There's nobody. He's not better than anybody.
Yeah.
He is absolutely an awful quarterback. And now you're going to go with Josh Johnson? Guy hasn't thrown a pass since 2011. It's 2018 now.
That C word that gets thrown out a lot when it comes to NFL owners and Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
It's hard not to look at who the starting quarterbacks are for the Washington Redskins are right now and not believe it. Talking about collusion. No, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
It's hard not to look, and we have not veered into this topic very often. I know a lot of people like to. Well, the minute a quarterback gets signed, well, Colin Kaepernick's better. We've avoided that for the most part. Looking at the box score of this game, and I didn't watch a minute of it yesterday, but looking at the box score of this game, you cannot tell me that Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson are better options than Colin Kaepernick for the Washington Redskins.
Oh, but they don't come with the baggage.
I know, but that, again, that circles back to the whole C word, the collusion charge that has been, it's hard to imagine.
Nothing makes a better case than that. That's they've got right
there. Exhibit A right there, Your Honor.
Okay, I rest my case. The Redskins are playing these two guys.
Josh Johnson and Mark Sanchez. Your Honor, I rest my case.
That's it. I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. You can make that argument, sure. This guy, Josh Johnson, had to play the Madden video games to learn who his teammates were. That's how bad it was. How did you learn who your teammates were? I played Madden.
Everybody expects him to be traded. Maybe as soon as this Saturday. Are the Suns actually close to making it happen? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.